Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 12th of January.
It's almost a kind of a palindrome, isn't it? It's not there, though. It's not exact.
No.
Well, 01-12-21.
01-12. No. It was on the 2nd, I believe.
01-02. Yeah, without the back end 21. Right.
1-2-2-1.
Yeah, exactly.
There should be a few this month. There should be another one coming here. I think... 22nd? Would the 22nd be one? 1-2-2-2-2. No. Yeah. The 22nd would be one.
There you go.
1-22-21.
Okay. What's the importance of that? Just that it's a cool word to say, palindrome? Or?
It's always a lucky day.
Always a lucky day.
Always a lucky day.
Interesting. All right, let's talk about what's going on because we're back, you know, we're here in 2021. We had the great compilation that was put together by Ryan Roditsky last week, and that ran throughout the week and got a lot of very nice comments on that. And, well, here we are, 2021, or as my notes say, 2021-1. Here we go. So we have a few things to look forward to. Things that are in the highlights, a smooth transition of the president and the administration. Probably not. We have trouble in social media land. Disappointing jobs report, Bitcoin rally, and then a crash. End of year compilation. I talked about that. And we have tonight the announcement of the close to the pin winner.
Yes.
That's exciting. All right. What do we got? Market update. I think that the summation is the same as before, but different. Do you kind of feel that? Seriously, do you feel this kind of the same as it was over the last year, but something's a little bit different?
Yeah, we're on the downslide.
The downslide? Like it's getting better? In other words, the downslide of the COVID or the downslide, it's getting worse, like the world's going to hell?
Well, the world's always going to hell, so I don't think that means much. I just sense that there's like we're going over the top. We've got head, we got the shoulder, one head. Now we're going to do a little bumpity do, and then off we go.
Excuse me, choking on my drink here. Couple things that are going on. We have some new stimulus that was enacted. $900 billion should keep some excitement in stocks. Inflation has become a theme by a lot of the talking heads. It's being discussed more and more. And I think that, you know, from everything that I've seen, aside from asset inflation and risk asset inflation and commodity inflation, there is some other areas we're starting to see that inflation is creeping up. We had the biggest move upward on a month over month or monthly basis on a year over year basis for home prices with the Case-Shiller number last month, like a 7.9%. And we're seeing that.
Yes. Yeah.
All sorts of things are going up, but yet the Fed.
Well, I mean, I'm got property, so it's fine with me. But I would not like to see another real estate crash.
No, that wouldn't be good. But you know, it would take a lot right now. Well, the only problem is I think you're going to have a possibility of a crash, but it will be regionally.
Right? Yes, I think that makes sense.
Because in Florida, everybody's moving in. They're coming with suitcases to extra pad the price and bidding over.
Carpetbaggers pouring into Florida.
Yeah. It's crazy what's going on down here. I mean, Palm Beach, they're killing it up there in Palm Beach. The real estate guys are just, you know, once you start seeing real estate guys driving the Lambos, you know what I mean? And the Porsches and all, they're like, oh, times are good, huh, buddy? So I think that that's going to be probably a market that's going to stay good. It's open. We're open for business down here, it seems. But you have other areas like they're fleeing from. I mean, they're fleeing from California, certain parts of the Midwest and Chicagoland and New York, New Jersey,
California. But the house prices around here have still continued to go up.
How does that happen? I don't understand that. I've heard that from.
Well, there's never been enough housing. That's the key. They had to flee. A lot of people would have. I mean, more than who's fleeing is really going to have to flee. It would take a lot more than we've got.
Right.
It's just kind of the housing prices, because there's a shortage of property where people want to live. Everyone's, they flock to one or two areas, and there's never enough property. If you got a place in that area, the price is going to keep going up. They won't stop.
The thing is that once you have interest rates as low as they are, it really pressures the housing market to have higher prices, because it's only natural if you could spend $500 a month, let's say. Well, if interest rates are 8% on a mortgage, well, you can buy a certain price house. If interest rates, everything else being equal, if interest rates are 1%, that $500 per month buys you a lot more of a mortgage. And therefore, you can go out and buy a bigger house or a more expensive house, which ends up turning the same houses to be a lot higher in value. It kind of pushes everything. And then the problem is, people are like, oh, I can get such a great price for my house. I'm like, yeah, well, where are you moving? Where are you going?
Well, if you're going to Montana, it's great.
Maybe.
One of the reasons a lot of people are moving out of California, besides the fact that the government stinks. The government stinks most of the time. I think a lot of it has to do with where they can cash out and buy like twice or three times the house someplace else. And they think that's the way to go.
Yeah, I suppose there is some of that. But it still seems to me that if we do continue to have a mobile workforce or a non-U.S., non-office-based workforce in the U.S., then people are going to start going where they want to live versus where they have to live. Don't you think?
Well, when you start looking into this mobile workforce, you discover that it's about 20% of the workforce in general can do mobile work efficiently and in a way that benefits the company. So I don't know. I could be wrong, but I'm not seeing the.
Well, if you're a plumber, if you're a carpenter, if you're an auto mechanic.
No, if you're a plumber, you're screwed.
You can't do any of that. Moving. No, yeah, exactly.
But even if you're an office worker, that's where the 20% number comes from. They think 20%. I mean, if you're a computer programmer, boom, you got it made. But besides those jobs, I don't know.
Call center employee?
Kind of, yeah. Although my experience with call centers is there are still boiler rooms and they're working from some central location.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see what else.
I know a lot of PR people can do it because they can be anywhere in the country.
It can be anywhere. Of course, it can be anywhere. As long as you don't have to physically meet somebody or touch a device or fix something or use a tool, you can be anywhere.
Yeah. But that's been the case for years.
Yeah. But more so now. It's become just much more efficient to do so. Don't you think?
No.
Oh, okay. You don't think the advent of the internet speeds, the availability to have internet everywhere, your phone, your watch, your car, your house, your office doesn't help all of that?
But I don't think people are working from home on their phone, to be honest about it. It's too inefficient. The internet speed 5-6 years ago was fine. I think it was not that much faster today. I mean, we started podcasting like 13 years ago, and it was good enough for that. It should have been good enough for work from home.
Back then, it was called baud. Remember that? It was baud. That was speed.
No, not 13 years ago. It was baud 25 years ago.
It was baud, 14.4 baud.
No, 1200 baud.
1200 not baud. How come we don't use baud anymore?
I mean, it's dumb.
What was baud? Was that bit versus megabit?
No, it was an old reference to, I think, a teletype standard. And it was unfashionable. And when you got to bits per second, the race that they're running now, it just didn't make any sense to continue with the term.
Yeah. All right. What else do we got here? Let me kind of push that. We got, EVs, electric vehicles. I mean, anything electric, battery operate, battery related, SPAC, and you put those together. You put a SPAC together with EV off to the races.
You got it made.
Everything is doing really well with that. Really doing well. 10-year treasury is above 1.1. Yield curve is widening. I think it's 1.17 today. That was up from 0.5 or so. I think that was April. So that's a big move.
Well, a big move at the low end.
Yeah. And the down days have been bought aggressively lately, and earnings season is officially kicking off this week. We're going to see a couple of the banks towards the end of this week. So we're going to find out if or if not earnings and stock prices have been aligned properly, or if there's some question going on as to how much we can really push the limits of valuations. And one of the things that's interesting, I think I have this somewhere, but it's fascinating to me to watch some of these talking heads. I try not to do it very often, but you know, we want to hear what's going on and you listen. And the whole entire narrative for the longest period of time was this whole idea that, you know, we can justify these very high and historically high price earnings multiples because interest rates are rock bottom low. When you have interest rates on a 10-year that's 0.5, well, we use that as our risk-free rate of return. And when we speculate and look out and calculate a discounted model on this and put in that low number, well, of course, the growth rates will look different and calculate out. And therefore, hey, it makes sense. Okay. Then all of a sudden, we start seeing interest rates go up. And now the same people are saying, well, that's not a problem for stocks because they're still low and maybe not as low. But the good news is that as interest rates are going up, what that really is signaling is that the economy is doing better. And if the economy is doing better, earnings will do better. And therefore, stocks can still be
valued. I love the logic.
So in other words, interest rates, while they're talked about quite often, have really no bearing because stocks only go up. Isn't that the point that we've learned?
Yeah.
Stocks only.
I wonder when that's going to end. And I would do the show, and then one of these, you know, stocks only go down.
Yeah. Right now, everybody believes. Listen, I can tell you that I've seen stocks that are going down. They look like they're going to break down, and then magically they hold, and then they start reversing. Look at something like the DoorDash. Look at the Airbnbs. Look at the names of the recent IPOs. Some of these other names that are just getting crushed. And they turn around on a dime. And then once they turn around, that's it. All over. They're being bought with both hands.
Yeah.
So we have some end of year stats because we weren't here for the actual end of year. But we have some end of year stats that we can look at. For 2020, the Russell 3000, which is the broad base of stocks in the Russell universe, all 3000 stocks, the largest of large down to the smallest of the small, up 21% for the year. An extraordinary year. Every year should have a massive lockdown.
Kill the economy. Stocks will rise.
Yes, kill the economy. Stocks will rise. People get a vacation. Maybe what we should do is have every summer 2 months off, close it down, and just send people checks like we did.
That's what France does.
Yeah, so they've done fine with it over these years.
Seems so.
Mm-hmm. Global stocks, XUS, up 10.6%. Asia Pacific stocks, up 19.7%. Emerging markets, up 18%. The ones that were really hard hit, up 18%. Latin America, interestingly enough, down 13.8%. And
to buy.
Yeah, there you go. Right, of course, it's down. Large cap growth, up 40% for the year. Large cap value, up 2.26%. And that 2.26% was really only the last month and a half of the year where value really started ramping higher. The banks, the energy stocks, unbelievable. Real estate REITs down 5.29% for the year, which is also interesting because you would think that in a market where you see a interest rates going down, that REITs would do well. But then there was some question about the mortgage forbearance and the eviction moratorium. And then banks getting stuck and the real estate getting screwed and all that. So, but there is a chart here, or a table for that matter, and it gives you the sectors, which shows you the spread of the S&P 500 sectors. You can see this on DH Unplugged, the show notes for episode number 539 over on dhunplugged.com.
Yeah, no real surprises here.
Nothing. Well, I think there's one major something that I'm seeing here that I'm pretty surprised about. And that's the
energy.
The number, down 36%. You know, when you start having this talk about electric vehicles, solar power, Green New Deal, energy probably going to take it on the chin. And the price of oil somewhere throughout the year dropping to negative 40. That probably hurt a few people, a few companies, right?
I would think. I hope.
Yeah. So the one that really is surprising, technology is number one at 42%. Consumer cyclical. That's like retail. Up 28%, the number two slot.
Yeah. Oh, that surprises you, I guess. Yeah. Well, because everything was shut down. You think that has something, or people just buying online? I don't know how that number is so high.
So you have two things. Number one, you have the shutdown. Number two, you have people out of work, right? Millions of people out of work. So put that together. And if I was to present that idea to you right there, would you say that retail would do good or bad?
Bad.
Right. But retail managed to do well. It is all about not the low interest rates. It's all about the payments that were made to people. The $600 per week that was above and beyond the actual income of some people as they were working, getting on unemployment, they were just going silly and doing two things. They were buying stocks and they were buying something from Amazon.
Yeah.
They were buying computers. They were buying desks from Wayfair. Best Buy is seeing some great numbers. All the furniture companies, because people had to redo their furniture, their Home Depot, Lowe's, incredible.
What is consumer defensive?
That would be like Staples. That would be like, it could be Clorox, it could be Procter & Gamble, the old Staples. They kind of renamed a few things here. They split a few things. It used to be technology and communication services were one category, then they split them. So communication services would be more like, could be internet-based only. It could be telephone AT&T. Company. AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile. The rest are pretty much self-explanatory, I guess. But the utilities down 2.97%. Financials down 4.2%, which was unbelievable. A big comeback at the end of the year. Real estate down 5.5%. And energy down 37% for the year. Mm. Pretty amazing. So, you know, last year was a year of a lot of merger and acquisition, the SPACs, the backdoor IPOs. You know, it was a big year, right? So
indeed.
So I thought we'd have some fun with some M&A activity that's happening. So here is some M&A that's happening now.
And where did you get this?
You don't like it?
No, I mean, it's this is right up your alley. Yeah. It's not that I don't like it. This is the kind of stuff you like, though, because like it is funny.
It's like stupid dad humor.
I couldn't categorize it, but that's exactly what it is. Okay.
Stupid
You're
dad.
You're on your own.
Thank you. Okay. Great. Great setup here. Everybody's on the edge of their seat now, waiting for me to fall right
they
down.
They should
on this.
Be. Especially the first one.
Yeah. So these are some companies that are merging and joining together. First, we have Hale Business Systems, Mary Kay Cosmetics, Fuller Brush, and W.R. Grace Company will merge and become Hale Mary Fuller Grace. I think that's funny. No, you don't think it's funny? Polygram.
In fact, it's so hilarious. You won't even. It's one. You have my invisible laugh.
Okay. Polygram.
Next.
Polygram Records, Warner Brothers, and Zesta Crackers will join forces to become Polly Warner Cracker. 3M will merge with Goodyear and become Good. Grey Poupon and Docker Pants are expected to become Poupon Pants. Knott's Berry Farms and the National Organization of Women are becoming Not Now. And finally, Victoria's Secret and Smith & Wesson will merge under the name Titty Titty Bang Bang.
Fabulous.
Thank you. Hold all your applause.
Did you write that material?
I did not write that material, no. I cut and pasted it. I thought it was kind of funny. All right, let's get into this whole discussion about social media and the problems with the platforms. We have, Google. Friday suspended the Parler social networking service from its app store, citing posts indicating violence and demanding robust content moderation from the app favored by many supporters of the U.S. President Donald Trump. Then we have Apple gave the service 24 hours to submit a detailed moderation plan pointed to participants using the service to coordinate Wednesday's siege of the U.S. Capitol building. Amazon is dropping Parler from its web hosting. So they got to go find another whole web hosting service. I guess they were using AWS.
That was the one. The other ones made sense because they've done this to a million people at Google and Apple. But this web hosting thing has me concerned.
That is a problem, too. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, they can go somewhere else, but then again.
Yeah, you can go somewhere else, but why is Amazon? I mean, this kind of is it. Amazon is pretty transparent. They just give you web hosting. You know, you can do what you want with it. It seems to me is the way it should operate. I mean, if I'm going to use Amazon services, I don't want them butting in and saying, well, you know, we don't like your politics anymore. We're taking you off the services. They're going to do that for people who use it for backup? Or are they going to, what are they going to, I mean, how far is this going to go?
Right. Because maybe I have a selection of sex videos. Seriously, right? Let's say that. And I back that up on Amazon and somehow they, I guess, look at it or something or whatever. And they figure that because people maybe are streaming off of that, downloading it or something, but they don't want that on there. Or, you know, you have some other kind.
Well, let's say something less radical.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be anything.
No, I agree with you. I agree that this opens up a whole can of worms. Here's the problem that I see. So I find this has really serious implications. You know, this whole Section 230 hoo-ha crap, which, to be honest with you, I don't think President Trump was thinking very clearly when he started bringing this up because this whole idea would be a problem for him because then it would require these companies to moderate and to kick more people off because they don't want to have the liability. Don't you agree?
Well, I don't think that was the point of his complaint.
He wanted to get rid of the shield of the liability.
I think it would shut down some of these companies. I don't think they can afford to moderate half of what they have posted. And then so now it's just arbitrary. And so I think what his complaint was that because of that, it's just kind of arbitrary. Let's just pick on a bunch of right wingers. Let's get rid of Alex Jones, but leave the Ayatollah on. It just seemed a little one-sided the way he saw it. And it's a dubious section. I mean, I have mixed feelings about it. It has a little to do with net neutrality. It has a little bit to do with, you know, the open internet. It has a lot to do with the politics of these companies. These companies who want to get political becomes an issue.
I totally agree with you. And here's where the blowback from me is on this, because I think this was really playing into the hands of this narrative, this whole idea that, oh my God, if Biden gets in, we're going communist, right? That was that whole underbearing and the whole underlying concept by a lot of supporters or a lot of conservatives, right? The whole idea is—
Well, the belief is that Biden is so out of touch and weak that the communists that are in office, the—
AOCs and all that, right?
Ilhan Omar and AOC and these others— We'll just roughshod him into, you know, just signing off on all kinds of stupid stuff, which I don't believe is going to happen. But
here's the problem.
Disbelief.
So now, what's one of the indications of communist rule? What are the things they do? Well, they do big censorship of areas they don't want to be heard. Right? If you go to China and you look up on their search engines Tiananmen Square, it ain't coming up.
So you're never going to find it.
Not coming up at all. Okay. So the concern was, hey, you know what? We're going communist. Oh, my gosh, Biden's in. This is going to communist. Without really knowing anything about communism, this is a whole discussion that people that just want to be crazy about things say. But the problem now is that President Trump has been booted from Twitter forever, taken down on Facebook, possibly a lot of the videos on the YouTube app, Parler's being taken down. Now, all of a sudden, that whole concept of, oh, we're going to be communist and we're going to be under communist rule is now actually coming to fruition. Because now we have censorship of things that we don't like or that they don't
like. It's pretty pathetic. Well, the most pathetic thing, which you don't have on the list, is Ron Paul. Ron Paul, of all people, has been removed from Facebook.
He has?
Yes, it just happened today.
What did he do?
Nothing.
Poor fella.
You know, he's just a, I don't want to call him just an old fart, you know, but he, you know, he's a libertarian and, you know, kill the Fed and all the rest of it. I don't know. He just posted it on Twitter that he was taken off Facebook and there's no real reason.
I mean, I find this whole thing to be very concerning. And whether I like what is said by one party or another or a person or another, or yes, there is something about, listen, we don't want illegal activity. That's different, right? There's a whole different discussion here. But if somebody says something like, you know, I like chocolate ice cream and I'm allergic to it, that doesn't mean they shouldn't be able to say they like chocolate ice cream, you know, or that I don't like, you know, that's a simple point. But this idea of doing this kind of mass moderation is going to really kill these companies.
Well, Twitter's stock took a beating when they kicked Trump off.
Yep, down 5%. Then it was down 10%. Then it closed the day down 5% yesterday and down, I think it was 2% today.
Yeah.
Supposedly, I heard somebody give me a statistic that upwards of 25% of all the traffic on Twitter is related to Trump.
I find that hard to believe.
I find that hard to believe also.
But it's, I think, in some sense, I mean, he had 85 million followers. He got more followers than he had voters. And most of his stuff is shadow banned because I follow him and I never see any of his posts. So I can't believe that he gets that much traffic. I mean, he gets more traffic than I do or you do, but I don't think he gets 25% of all traffic.
Well, I don't know if they're counting retweets and tweets and bots and things, whatever. Point is, though, that's, you know, there's just so much involved in what has happened here. And I know that they have the right to do so as a private company. They can do whatever the hell they want, right? Let's be honest, right? Can't they? At this point, with the current laws that are in place.
Well, technically, yes. And that's what they're doing. Otherwise, I mean, all they're doing is losing face and losing customers. And I mean, what hurts them is not, I mean, they're not doing anything illegal that I know of.
Now, if you have a situation, think back a little bit, where someone who is a particular race or a particular has a particular sexual preference that walks into a store and is told that they are not to be served there. You remember all that? Remember a gay guy walks into a bakery or something like that?
This is common.
And it says, you know what, we're not serving you.
Hobby Lobby is another good example.
Yeah. And that, the social media and everybody's a buzz about that. Oh, my God, this terrible person is not allowing them because they don't agree with theirs. And therefore, it should be illegal to do so.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back in Dodge, we don't like what they say and all. And we're just not only going to listen, we're not going to slap him on the. No, he's banned for forever. And anybody that he tweets through will be banned also.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I mean, I don't like his Twitter feeds and a lot of stuff he does, but this is bad.
It's very bad. And I think it's a huge mistake and it's not good. None of it's good.
Yeah.
And then Biden, you know, supposedly, oh, we had it. We need to come back together. We need to unite as a nation. We need to, you know, make bridges, not walls, and on and on. I'm not seeing any evidence of this at all. All I'm seeing is stuff like this is now they want to impeach Trump again, just for some, which is ridiculous since he's out of office next week. It just doesn't make, none of it makes any sense except that's just vindictiveness. And what's the point of that?
Well, listen, let's be honest. These wussy Congress people were scared out of their mind. They got a touch of the real world for 5 minutes that something happened on their turf. And they all are absolutely beyond petrified now.
It's what it looks like.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, could you imagine if they had to go somewhere and actually fill up their car with gas? You know, that's the kind of what's going on here.
Well, they're going to start getting grief. But then again, let's look back on the origins of this. Remember when Maxine Waters came out and said, if you see somebody that's a Republican, give them grief. And remember the time that Sarah, the large-bodied press secretary who was for Trump, they had to throw her out of a restaurant because there was a bunch of customers complaining that she was even there. Well, I mean, this can happen both sides of the aisle, if you want to play that game. It's crazy.
Now, the whole thing, it's gotten so out of control that I don't even know how to bring it back, if there is a chance to bring it back to somehow have just a sense of reasonableness in all of this, because it's gotten so out of control. It's got ridiculous.
Yes, and it will be brought back.
It will eventually, yeah. Well, it will be brought back with
economic depression.
The armed pro. Oh. Oh boy.
Sorry, yeah. That's my opinion. How it gets brought back, yeah. It always works.
Just you gotta sting everybody, I guess. But you know, again, with the Fed doing what they're doing, it's very hard to think about. Well, with that in mind, we have some armed protests. It seems starting this week and running through at least Inauguration Day, armed protests are being planned in all 50 state capitals in the U.S. Capitol. Now, did they actually? This is an FBI bulletin. Did they apply for a permit or something to have an armed protest, and that's how they know about all these? I mean, what is the deal?
No, you know, this whole thing is sketchy.
I'm so aggravated with all this. Honestly, you know what? It's terrible. You know, by the way, just to back up for a second, could you imagine if some of the major television providers, the Comcast of the world, the Dish networks, decide to dump a particular channel because of their political ideals?
That can happen.
That's exactly what's happening now. It's communism, I say. It's communism. Anyway, so there's some group that's planning on.
You know the right wing conservatives, and I'm not advocating this, by the way. I'm just suggesting the possibility could happen, and people should be aware of it. Which is right wingers, let's say, or conservatives in general, are the ones that have the guns and they want to keep their guns. And the Second Amendment provides that protection. A lot of them are pretty good shots.
Oh. So what are you saying?
And they could start, and the cables that are strung by Comcast, which is a Trump-hating company, are pretty obvious on your poles outside. You can see them up there. I mean, I can see because you can see them coming into your house. You know, you could probably, with a good scope, probably take out a line every once in a while.
Just take an axe. Just walk along with an axe. Smash it.
Well, you got to go up the pole to do the axe.
Well, don't they run up the pole, then down the pole into the house?
No.
You're talking about the overhead ones, yes.
There's all kinds of different methodologies. Right. But generally speaking, most of them are not within arm's reach. They're up in the poll. You got to.
So basically, John C. Dvorak is in favor of long shot.
No, I'm not. I'm just suggesting the possibility exists
of a Comcast account.
They should be more circumspect.
And utilizing a shotgun for any drones overhead with packages.
Well, I will say I have advocated that. I don't advocate the other one. I'm just saying the shotgun or something, or just a net. Perfectly good drone. Capture it.
Right. So the group is also this group. They use the word group. Whoever this group is that is going to be in the 50 different governmental capitals, they're going to storm government offices in every state. Now, let me tell you, I was out fishing on Sunday.
Seems unlikely.
I was fishing on Sunday. And I got to tell you, there were more cop boats, not the little bitty, police boats. They were like the we call them the ribs, with the soft
the
sides.
Big boys.
Yeah. And there was two separate, fully you don't want to get near these guys, customs and immigration boats, one towards the inlet and one out in the ocean. I was like,
why?
I don't know. I don't know. They were definitely showing some force on Sunday.
But what was that about?
I guess they're making sure that.
You're in Florida.
I don't know. I don't know what it was about.
But Something going on.
There was definitely a show of force. Maybe to try to say, hey, we're not going to take any crap. Nobody, if you're maybe the boat, don't storm the port with your boat or something. I don't know. It was weird.
It doesn't make sense. Okay.
Weird. Yeah. We have some Elon Musk news. Elon Musk alert. Tesla CEO Elon Musk saw his net worth grow to over $185 billion last Thursday, surpassing Amazon founder Jeff Bezos.
Oh, so Musk became the most valuable person?
Yep, he did. Then he lost the position Monday.
Aww.
Stock was down. And I think maybe he may have gained it back today. It's possible. Stock was down 8% yesterday.
Poor guy.
Yeah. Now, I was wondering, because this is big news, and does that the net worth of Bezos post-divorce? Because when he split his assets.
That's funny you ask, because I've thought about this too, and I think other people have asked the same question. If it's post-divorce, I don't know. I have no idea.
Because they always quoted his money of what
his
he had.
His wife has got her own money. Bezos doesn't have. It's not his money.
What's not his money?
The money that he would be credited with in terms of his net worth is his money, not his wife's money. His wife would have her own net worth.
But usually when you talk about like Bill Gates' net worth, for example, it's, you know, what the total family, what they're worth.
Yeah, but well, the Waltons is what you're really thinking
right,
of.
Right, right.
But even the Waltons, if you look at them on the list, it's each separate person, except unless they're married.
What was amazing about the Waltons' rise to so much wealth was they just did it from that TV show. I always felt found that was unbelievable.
You know? You'd think they'd get that mole removed.
Hyundai, a little bit of confusing news that came out here. The South Korean car company initially said it was in the early stage of talks with the iPhone maker Apple about a possible electric car partnership. But hours later, it backtracked and said it was talking to a number of potential partners without naming Apple. Now, with that news, Hyundai's shares rose 20%. So they're in discussions. There was like a
that's crazy.
This is the kind of stuff that's going on.
This is the beginning of the end. When I see stuff like this, I just get really skittish.
I'm going to give you the end right here. This is going to encapsulate what is going on in one quick discussion. Okay, here it comes. There was a tweet. First of all, I see Elon Musk's tweet, and I'm obviously a stupid person, non-intellectual. You know, an elbow dragger or something, you know, I don't understand what he says ever. I don't really understand what his tweets
code.
Mean.
He talks in code.
I don't know what code it is. I haven't been able to decode it. But then I go and say, okay, I'm going to go look at the comments and see what people are like, oh yeah, great. Right on. I'm like, what? What did he say? I don't even know what he said. Something about a king and a queen, something. Anyway, he says that in a tweet, very, very simply, Use Signal, a reference to the Signal encrypted messaging app, which is funded by a nonprofit organization. And what happened was investors went into a company called Signal Advanced, symbol SIGL, moved the stock up 500% before someone realized that it was totally the wrong play and had nothing to do with whatever he was talking about.
Yeah.
Today, it's down 65% from yesterday. Still, went from 60 cents to like $40 or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay? It's still trading at $10. It has like one employee
still
and no—
a winner.
Yeah. One employee and no earnings. So that is what's going on with markets.
That's that. I said it earlier in the show. It's the beginning of the end.
Yep.
I mean, this anything like this is just another indicator. We're getting a lot of them that this is not going well.
If we take all the indicators one day, 5 years from now or 10 years from now, look back, and if there is a market correction that's significant or a sector area that's, you know, gets really crushed and it really hurts a lot of people, I think we could very clearly and reasonably state it was obvious. Don't you think?
No, that's what it always is. It's always at. This is what happened when the real estate market crashed with those stupid, you know, the junk mortgages, bundled mortgages.
Yep.
And it crashed, and then you know, a few people made a lot of money on the downside, and then after it was all over, it was obvious. It's always obvious.
Yep. It's also obvious.
It's obvious now.
I'll tell you two things that I think are pretty obvious moving into the next year or so. Gary Gensler is going to be the SEC chair. He was installed or he was appointed yesterday by Biden. He's the guy that was with the CTFC, and he kind of cracked down on the banks, hard ass, just all sorts of stuff that he came out with. Very tough dude. I think there could be some, as he's the head of the SEC now, there could be some regulation on these SPACs and a transparency issue. And I think because also these SPAC guys, there's a few of them, I'm not going to name all of them, but there's a few of these guys that now think they're like gods.
Oh, yeah, it's overconfidence. You're starting to believe your own publicity.
Yeah, and they push it hard. Some of these guys push it really hard. And that, and I think on cryptocurrencies, is going to be some kind of regulation into the next year or so. That's just my guess.
The cryptocurrency collapse, if it collapsed,
yep,
that would have a lot of repercussions.
I agree. Listen, Bitcoin went up to 42,000.
Yeah.
And then it dropped off 25% yesterday, came back up a bit, currently trading at 32,800. That's 10,000, give or take a couple of dollars, 10,000 points. It's 20% down in a day. Now, I don't know about you. Everybody gets mad at me about this whole Bitcoin that I'm, Horowitz talks about Bitcoin. Doesn't understand.
Yeah, well, at least you're consistent.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with Bitcoin as an investment. Swing trade, day trade, scalp trade, do what you want with it. But don't start telling me about the store of value crap and this currency alternative or this currency. Any currency that moves up or down, I'll give it 5% in a day on a regular basis, is not a currency or a store of value.
No, I agree.
So invest, have at it. Have a great time. I have no problem with that.
Every time somebody brings up the Bitcoin thing I got this the other day. Oh, well, Bitcoin, you know, so it's just the future, the investments of the future. I said, well, what's wrong with gold? So, you know, Bitcoin is going to, you know, covers the ass of the collapsing dollar, which is, you know, it's collapsing. It's going up and down. Come on. But Bitcoin will cover that. It's all this and everything. And so what's wrong with gold? Gold used, you know, the person says to me, it's not as easy to spend.
I heard the conversation. I heard that conversation on my walk this morning.
What did you think?
I would agree that is that. Listen, I've always said that when you go,
can you spend Bitcoin? You have to go through a rigmarole to get the money to spend. I mean, gold. I can walk. We have two or three gold shops right in the area where I can go in with my gold. I get whatever form it's in and put it on the thing, and they'll just buy it from me right on the spot.
I agree. I mean, Bitcoin does have
I can't do that with Bitcoin.
You could send it to people. It's, you know, but to be honest with you, the problem is if I have a load of my cash in Bitcoin, I could be a king or I could be an absolute failure. And I don't want my cash doing that. If I want to spend money on a car, I'm going to spend $50,000 on a car or a house or, I don't care, boat, whatever it is. If I'm going to have to write a check for something, I want to know what that money was today, yesterday, and tomorrow, not what it's all over the place. My investments, different discussion. Gold's a little bit harder to spend.
You're usually not writing your checks off your investments.
Right. There are ways to pay.
What were you going to say about gold?
Gold is difficult to you know, if you go into the bunker and everything's down, well, everything's down if everything's down, right? The only thing
you're
you want
in the
is
bunker. I mean, come on.
Bunker, you want a can of tuna in oil. You know my thesis on this?
No, your thesis?
So here's the deal. You take gold into the bunker and the guy says, you know, you want to buy something or you need something, whatever. You got to very difficult to chip off some gold. If you have tuna in oil, it has to be tuna in a can in oil. You open up the top. First of all, you got a nice cutting blade right there, right? You got something for protection. You could use it for a utility. Then you take the oil, you spill it out. You got it for heat, for a lamp. Then you got the tuna that you can eat. When you take it out of there, you got the rest of the can available. You can do things like store things in there. You could use that as a weapon, or you can like maybe gather some water for drinking in it. So tuna in oil has much more utility than Bitcoin or gold in the bunker. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, I'll just ignore what you said and we can go on.
All right. So much signaling. Let's see.
You're talking about tuna that's packed in oil and you use that to burn?
Yeah, I think that could burn if you needed to, or it could utilize it for moistening the skin and, you know, in that all that radiation's out
just
there.
Just stink to high heaven.
Okay.
All right, go on with the more weird stock action is what we're working on.
Yep. All right. So we're beyond that. Let's look at the executive order smacking down global index publishers. MSCI and a few others said they're going to be deleting China Mobile, China Telecom, China Unicorn from its global indices because they're bad companies and all that. There was executive order that we can't work with them. That was an interesting situation. Remember something. What you had was the executive order. The index company said, okay, we're pulling them out. The next day, they said they're not pulling them out. The day after that, they said, okay, yeah, we'll pull them out. So people that owned it were got killed. Then they're like, oh, okay, they're not pulling it out. They bought back in. They made a little bit of money on it. Then they got killed again. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is unbelievable.
Just sickening.
China Mobile is probably a great company. But this brings up a point that I got a memo today from some new agency I never heard of from California. Some, I don't know what it's called, a CITSA or something like that. And they said, we're now advising the tire companies to take the zinc out of their tire formulations because it's killing fish. This is California again.
Why are the tires killing fish? Because people are putting the tires to make artificial reefs?
People actually don't throw the tires in the bay like they used to. No, it's just the road. As the tires drive around, you get this, rubber comes off and then it goes into the ocean and it kills fish. The zinc, it's the zinc. So I'm reading this thing and I'm saying, oh, what are they going to do to it? I send a note and I say, what are you going to do to enforce this? What's the point? And then I said, wait a minute. Who even makes tires in the United States anymore? Where are they? Where are tires made?
We don't think about this. Isn't Goodyear U.S.?
There's two companies that still make tires in the United States.
Goodyear
and Cooper.
Oh, Cooper, yeah. COO.
That's it. Everybody else makes them in China.
Do you know that we
Michelin's, most of their tires are made in China. All these Japanese companies are all made in China. China makes all the tires we're using. So what are they going to do about enforcing the zinc policy from the Chinese companies? But I was just stunned by the fact that China's number one in the world for making tires.
I put zinc in the water on a regular basis. Seriously. I'll tell you why. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's something called electrolysis that affects boats. It's the electrical current that's in the water.
Oh, yeah. Zinc forms as an anode or a cathode or something.
Right. So what you do, for example, on my lift.
Boat from dissolving, right. I think.
So on my lift, what I do is I attach a wire, if you will, attached to a long 4 or 5 pound piece of zinc that sits in the water and attracts the electrolysis, if you will, away from my lift or my boat, right? Big boats have them. You have zinc plates on the back of your engines when they're in the water too. And it eventually has to be replaced because the zinc dissipates over time.
You're killing fish.
I'm killing fish. That's no wonder why the fishing so crappy around here. It's the zinc.
So maybe the point of this memo that came out is to alert me to the fact that China makes all the tires in the world.
Oh, so it was like a soft realization.
Soft alert.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. I was very upset by this.
Let's talk about
You can't even make tires in this country anymore.
Of course not. So much signaling. We have a lot of signaling going on. This is kind of should have put it with the other one. New England Patriots head coach Bill Belichick says he's declining to accept the Presidential Medal of Freedom on Monday after last week's deadly insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. In a statement, he said that he was flattered to be offered the medal. I don't know what he got it for. The highest civilian honor of the country, but said the tragic events of last week occurred and the decision has been made not to move forward with the award. Then you got the PGA. PGA announced on Sunday that next year's PGA Championship will no longer take place at President Trump's New Jersey golf course as planned.
Following a vote.
Yeah. Vote by parties that can't be named.
By the woke board of directors of the PGA.
We are not going to have it here because it would be bad. Because Trump's name is going to be in the dirt. Because of what he did, he told everybody to go down there and do that and go right for the computer in Pelosi's office.
Yeah.
Which now is being linked to.
I'm still dubious about that story.
And now that there's all these stories that come in, they found child pornography links on it with Clinton.
Sure they did. Because 80-year-old Nancy Pelosi, she's kinky.
Yeah. And she doesn't have any encryption on that computer inside the Capitol.
Yeah. Right.
Right. You know? Here's a surprise for you, a little screw-up by the IRS. Who would have thought? Millions of pandemic stimulus payments have been deposited into incorrect customer accounts due to an internal revenue service error, according to Intuit TurboTax, which is helping to distribute the payments. So it seems to me kind of weird that, they're blaming the Internal Revenue Service, which is a blamable organization. Blame the post office, blame the Internal Revenue Service, but they're the ones that were helping to distribute. So I don't know, they seem to be...
There's something fishy about this story with Turbo Intuit.
Yeah, a little complicit. So two banking industry sources confirmed the error, which would delay the distributions of the badly needed aid. They tweeted, anybody has to use Twitter for stuff. Unfortunately, because of the IRS error, millions of payments were sent into the wrong accounts. Now, I'm wondering, how are they going to get those that money back out? Are they going to? Well,
that's not explained, is it?
It's not. It was nowhere in the article. Nope. Let's see here. Boeing will pay $2.5 billion to resolve the U.S. Justice Department's investigation into two deadly 737 MAX crashes that killed 346 people. The Justice Department said the settlement includes a criminal monetary penalty of $243 million, compensation payments to customers of $1.77 billion. So compensation payments to Boeing 737 airline customers. Now, I don't know who that goes to. Is it the customers that were shut down from it, or is it the families that lost people? Because it seems to me that the $243 million is probably the compensation payments, criminal penalty that goes to the families. Oh, no.
I think the 177 goes to the families, and the 243 goes into the U.S. government's coffers.
And there's another $500 million crash victim beneficiaries fund. I don't know. I'm sure that somehow this money's going back to, you know. And just as this settlement comes, we have a new crash in Indonesia.
Yeah.
And finally, in the category, we have SkyBridge Capital's Anthony Scaramucci in his latest Wall Street maven. He's the latest guy to get involved in Bitcoin. And he's talking this up, saying Bitcoin is better at being gold, and gold is being gold, and, you know, all these, it's easier to store, it's harder to steal, it's more portable, and therefore, first of all, it's not hard to steal. It's much more, I know where my gold is, it's in the closet underneath the whatever, you know, it's versus the Bitcoin, I got to remember the passcodes, I got to get the authenticators, if I lose that, I'm a problem, if I do it in cold storage, and then it crashes on the hard drive, it's a big problem, so whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to lose your Bitcoin. A
lot of ways to lose your Bitcoin. So, I come to find out, we use some of his funds. I come to find out, well, guess what? He's starting his own Bitcoin fund or cryptocurrency fund. So, bunch of hoo-ha there.
Oh, good for him.
Yep. Time to announce two things. Number one, thank you so much for your donations throughout the year. We ask for them and are very grateful to everybody that does donate. If you haven't done so already, your time has come. Please go over to dhunplugged.com, click on the donate button, and give a little. Just give a little. There's a song about that. Give a little bit. Give a little bit to the donation fund. It helps us out in all sorts of matters. Let's talk about the close to the pin, shall we?
Yes.
We have
yes,
a winner. Yes. Winner for the close to the pin cup for 2020. And this is where the winners from throughout the year that participated in the close to the pin competitions got together. We had six people who, I think one person didn't do it, but six people who got in on the action. And the winner, who was only $226 away, which is 0.74% from the Dow Jones Industrial Average final closing price on 12/31, was Tyler Gizzy.
Gizzy. It's interesting. He was the optimist, and he still wasn't optimistic enough.
Correct. Yep. 226 points higher. And that was pretty much, I think that was pretty much all in the last couple of hours of the day. It just ramped up.
Yeah.
Jim B. was the runner-up, 0.84%.
Pretty close.
And
lost $30 from the winner, from Tyler.
Ryan was 273 points away. Steve B. was 485. Mike K was 731, and Marcus with a thatch house was 900 points away, 3% away from the end. So we have a wonderful, which I will post on Twitter tomorrow. Make sure to follow me at Andrew Horowitz, one word, and The Real Dvorak for John, because we'll put a link for him too. We're going to put a picture of this trophy, this magnificent trophy that Tyler is going to get for winning this, plus a t-shirt, a signed book, and all sorts of other stuff we'll send over to Tyler.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yep, awesome. All right, finally, one more item, and then we'll get into something here. Walmart is now entering the financial services area. And they're announcing a new relationship with a...
Another bad sign.
Everybody's involved. Everybody in the pool.
Everybody's got to get into the act.
So they're working with a company called Ribbit Capital. Ribbit Capital was the company behind Robinhood.
Oh, great.
And several other...
Hey, can I... I'm going to throw a story out at you.
Yeah, go ahead.
So my wife gets a... there's some hinky stuff going on with her... one of her banking accounts, and it's they put a bunch of money in, and they took some out, they put some in, and it was from Robinhood. She's never opened a Robinhood account.
Somebody in your family?
Nope.
No.
Yeah. Nope.
That's weird. They were doing the test.
They were testing, yes, and no one asked for it. Nobody wanted it. Nobody signed up, and Robinhood is doing something. I think it deserves an investigation. She was talking to the bank right now about it. It was very fishy.
I am not a big fan of Robinhood in terms of, you know, all the things that I've seen, the actual cost of investing with them, the improper way they handle the whole investing process. I'm not saying you can't make money with them and do what you got to do, but it's not really high-end investing. Now, if you're investing $300, $400, you want to play around, and you view it as a game and it's gamified investing and all that. Okay. Have at it. Have a good time. If you have nothing better to do, go for it. But if you really want to invest the right way, you go to, you know, one of the big boys. It doesn't have to be the Goldman Sachs, but the Schwabs, the TDs, the IBs, you know, those guys, they do a good job. Now we're at the show point where we talk about Fed limericks. You promised us a limerick.
I promised two.
Yeah. And?
I forgot about it.
I think a lot of people are wondering if you have the ability to actually write.
Yeah, the old challenge. The old, does this guy have any skills?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I can see that.
A lot of people talk the talk, you know.
I feel like LeBron James now.
Right. Can you do it?
Oh, of course.
You know, we call it Limerick Challenge. All right, let's get to the next part then. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures. So we decided the end of the year, by the way, to keep everything on that was active.
Yes, we have a lot of green, but not only a lot of green. There's a couple of dogs on here that got kicked. Mm-hmm. IBM short, you know, is dead money. It got kicked. And so Beyond Meat got kicked. But for the most part, it's all green. But what's interesting is it's extreme. The numbers are big.
Ridiculous.
They're ridiculous. Medtronic, this is the biggest year we've ever had.
Yep.
Medtronic up 52%. Trane Technologies, that was one of your picks, up 69.7%. The FVC Bank Corp up 52%. Xerox only up 23%. US Global Jets only up 22%. Summit Financial Group, which is a descending triangle, a bank, 51.47%. The MJ, your Biden bet ETF, up 54%. Honeywell, just a wedge shot, up 18%. XTL Biopharm, another channel pick just based on the chart, up 48%. NXP Semiconductor, a dog on this list, only up 10%.
Yeah.
And then Tattooed Chef, one of your picks, the manufactured protein, which is a complete, as far as I'm concerned, a junk stock, up 42%. And then you had space travel, which this is just picked last week, where I'm not even going to mention it, which is Virgin Galactic. But this is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Actually, I got some people that have written us that they two different things this week. One person said that, you know, he got a pick of something. Some ridiculous thing. And then some other guy called me and he said, oh, by the way, it was in a conversation about something else. And he said, you know, by the way, I was listening to you and John some time ago. I bought something for like $150 or $200. I didn't look at it for like the last year. One of your small biotech thingajiggies. He says it's like worth $2,400 now. Pretty good amazing. Move. Yeah.
No, we were on the ball.
Yep.
Over this last year. I mean, it goes back too, because January, February, March, the March Medtronic stock is 52% up. That was in March. We got March. April, May, there's pretty much nothing. June and July, there's a few. August, September, there's a couple. And that's just kind of just stretched out. But November, where we picked most of our winners, is just within the last couple of months.
Yeah. It wasn't like they're sitting there for 3 years. And they haven't corrected yet. To a point,
no,
to kick
none of these stocks have corrected. There has been no correction. I would say half of these stocks should be kicked off in a decent correction, just on the 10% thing, all coming out ahead. We still have money, but where is that?
Yeah. I don't know. I have one pick for this week. I went back and forth on all sorts of ideas on things that, you know, I have and we like and we invest. I picked something out of the blue that we haven't had in any of our client portfolios that I don't own personally, just something that I've been watching, something I've been thinking about getting into. It's another one of these SPACs, but it's they do lithium battery production. They came out recently with a big splash. The stock went from, I don't know, something like 10 to like 90 something, down to 56 today. It was going down the last few days, turned around today, up 6.5%. QuantumScape Corp, symbol QS. So I'm putting this as a bounce SPAC play.
That's interesting. I got nothing.
Oh. Yeah, you got no limericks. You got
no limericks and no stock picks.
Oh,
yeah. So I'm starting the year.
You don't like my stupid dad jokes?
The dad jokes were the worst, but I tolerated them. If you want to do more of those, I'm interested in listening.
I don't know if I can find more of those, but we'll try. All right, we're about out of time. So listen, happy New Year.
And, yeah, happy new year to everybody listening to this show, too.
Yep, and I will
and you.
See you.
And you and your family and your wife and Sharon.
Sharon, we got to say hello to Sharon. And I will see you next week, and love to your family.
Same to you.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.